Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into quarterback snap reactions for this week. And the snap reactions are going to be a little bit different because I wanted to focus on some of the trading aspect. Trade deadlines coming up in some of your leagues, and I want to sort of be attuned to that and sort of how we're thinking about this. So I'm not going to go game by game, team by team, talking snap reactions this week. I want to look a little bit more big picture and where we sort of sit with some of these guys, where there will maybe be moving tiers, for example. That's a big one, right, in terms of how we think about the position. You know, we're having a discussion in the group chat today about Kirk Cousins. And is Kirk Cousins basically one of the bigger values in dynasty football for the past few years? And the answer has consistently been yes. And it's one of those, he's a proof of concept guy. Multiple hits. We really know who he is at this point. Like, he's older than people give him credit for. He's got a top six on his resume, but he's only 33. He will be 34, right? He's the same age as Stafford, same age as Tannehill. He's the same age as Russell Wilson. We don't really have all these major concerns about some of those other guys. I sort of look at this and I'm like, all right, like these, we look at these things and we sort of see patterns, right? And that's the big thing with, I think, the quarterback position. We see patterns that reappear. Are they the end all be all? No. Guys like Derek Carr defy them? Yes. And some of the threshold stuff that we look at, but it kind of matches up and we sort of know where to take. I guess the easiest way to put it is we know where to take the big, the shots at the biggest targets, right? Like take shots at big targets, because that way if you miss, you've got a lot of leeway to miss. Right? If you've got a lot of miss, if you're shooting for a top 12 finish for a guy like Kirk Cousins and he doesn't get it, like top 18 is probably well within likelihood. And so guys like that make a big difference. So those standards, right, those accomplishments, those benchmark threshold accomplishments, they're all big things. So we're going to focus a lot on the guys that have changes. There's not a ton of them so far. And again, we're not fully there yet, but I think that there is a couple of ones that are big. So the jump from one hit to two hit, right? That's a big one. That is a big, big jump. That is a significant jump. Justin Herbert is making it right now. He's the only person that's jumping from one hit to two hit at present. He's fourth in points year to date, fifth in points per game, and he is about 9% under expectation. So again, you look at broad targets to shoot at, really high end, performing really well, and statistically, he's not really outperforming what we would expect him, bottom line number in terms of fantasy points per game or anything like that. He's not really overperforming what we would think. So that's a really good thing. You know, we're shooting at a really, really broad target with him. And so he also is jumping from 0 to 1 top 6 finish. So if he gets both of those, I came in a little bit skeptical of Justin Herbert. I'll be totally frank. And one of my concerns was a lot of the stuff that we saw from him last year. It's high variance stuff. It's doesn't fully check out in terms of, you know, it's stuff that's going to regress, right? So if you remember the how does he perform under pressure, right? That stuff was a big deal. That stuff was very, very high. It's very high variance. And if you perform really well under pressure from one year, it doesn't really mean you're going to do it the next year. And so a lot of his stats were in very inflated in terms of those statistics. And as a result, right, like he was really high. It gave me a lot of concern that he needed to take a really big jump as a traditional clean pocket passer to take a step in the next direction. And, right, like we might not ultimately, bottom line number, see a big difference, right? Like his yards, like he could be a substantially better passer from a clean pocket and from some of the repeatable stuff, really take growth. But at the same time, we wouldn't just flat out see that on his resume. We could be like, hey, listen, he didn't really take a jump in yards per attempt, right? He's still sort of stuck in this area. And if he doesn't take that jump, like, we're going to see a massive regression, right? So all of those things gave me a lot of pause. Again, I don't like being, when I can take shots on guys that have two hits, I would rather do that instead of take shots on guys that only have one hit. Right? That is, it's like shooting a three versus shooting a long two, right? I'm going to shoot the three, right? And so I don't need to make a bet like him at his cost. I can make other bets that are safer and those sorts of things. And I'll go through an exercise about that in a minute, but I want to talk about, highlight a couple of these guys. So I feel really good about Herbert. And I think he's going to move in a spot that we're going to discuss it in a minute. And it'll be an interesting spot where we potentially might land him at the position. All right. Next up is Derek Carr. So Derek Carr is close. All right. So Derek Carr, he's 13th in points to date. He's 12th in points per game. Again, I use points to date, and I use the Football Guys standard scoring, which is FFPC scoring, is what I use to determine a final points per game. So there's a couple of things with him, right? He has a hit on his resume, and he's got a couple like near misses as well. He's close this year, right on the line, and he's 17.4% under expectation. He's got a 4.3 touchdown rate. He has a PFF grade of quarterback 8. That is 81.9 grade. 8.1 yards per attempt, best of his career. Big time throw, 7.7%, best of his career. So, again, shooting at big targets. Quarterback 1, quarterback 2 fringe. Performing well within all of the sort of skill-based stats. And is on the bottom side of variance, right? Like, there's a lot of, hey, he could regress from a skill standpoint next year, and at the same time still finish very clearly in the same range just because some positive things going in his direction. That's definitely a formula that I like for buy low candidates, right? Or buy at a discount. So he's going to be one that, even if he doesn't necessarily finish with like a top 12, he doesn't check a box at top 12, for example, I think he probably will get there, or it's going to be really darn close. Even if he doesn't, I'm fine sort of treating him like that at this point. So what will be interesting, and the only thing that gives me a little bit of pause with him, and I don't think it's going to be a huge deal because we're going to see, right, he's going to be 31. And I think he's going to land, right? There's only, when you start counting, and we'll sort of talk about that too, when you start counting the amount of jobs available, there's not 32 guys walking the face of the earth that are franchise quarterbacks. There's just not at any given time. And as a result of that, when you're a guy like Derek Carr, where you probably are, but maybe not necessarily, you're in a different tier, right? You're in a Stafford, Cousins, Matt Ryan might be a richer version of this during his prime, but like that tier, maybe not necessarily winning Super Bowls, but the difference between you and a rebuild, it's a stark difference. And again, you get to a point where I'm not sure all teams are making, they're frankly not, most teams aren't making decisions that maximize their chance of winning a Super Bowl. Like Carolina is the absolute worst at this right now, right? Like these teams aren't making decisions that maximize your chance to win a Super Bowl. And in that landscape, in that atmosphere, you're going to see guys like Derek Carr get chances. You're going to see guys like Kirk Cousins get chances to be quarterbacks still, even though we might necessarily not respect them as much from a dynasty perspective. You do have longevity there. So that's my thought on Carr, that even if there's a change up in the contract stuff, or they could potentially get out of him if they wanted to, I think they're more likely to extend him, as they sort of, but it'll be interesting because then they're going to be going through, like, there's a really good chance they're new coach, new front office. So he's one that even if there's a change up in Vegas, he could land someplace else and be pretty productive. All right, so then you get the jump from zero hits to one hit. And this is actually Hurts, and Hurts is doing it in a couple of fronts too. He's on the top six hit thing. So I've talked about Hurts a little bit, and you know, there is a difference between a top six hit and a top 12 hit, right? I think a top six hit usually equates about to two top 12 hits. Like, I sort of value them about the same way. I will say this, though. I think, like, if you're going to give me the choice, I'd rather have two top 12 hits than one single top six hit, especially when you're sort of atypical the way that Hurts is. So 40.3% of his points are on rushing. That's the most in the league. There's seven guys that are above 20%. He's more than double 20%. He's at 40.3. It's the next closest is Tyrod at 37.8, Fields at 36.2, Lamar at 30.8, Darnold at 29.4, Daniel Jones at 22.3, and Tannehill at 21.3. What do those quarterbacks have in common? There's a lot of questions about where they are development wise. With Lamar, not as much. Like, we've seen him be a pretty good passer. Maybe it's a little bit more usage. Like, they're maximizing his running ability. But we kind of know that Tyrod's a limited passer. Darnold hasn't taken a jump. We'll see with Fields, like, where he's at. Daniel Jones, like, for a young quarterback, it's nice that you get rushing production. At the same time, if you're getting that much rushing production as your fantasy production, it should probably give us some signs that, hey, maybe the passing stuff isn't necessarily sustainable where it's at. So that's the thing that I would have with Jalen Hurts. I do have some cause. I do have some pause about him long term. Get to that in a second. Yards per attempt, 20th at 7.2, 5.5% big time throw rate, 13th, 2.7% turnover-worthy play, that's 12th. He's 13% under expectation. He's quarterback 14 in terms of PFF grade. So all of that is, so this is an interesting, you know, if you think about this from a different perspective, which is we talked about with Carr or with Cousins, if you are in a position where you get, right, you're sort of the guy and you're maybe good or you're maybe even very good, but you're not great. You're not Mahomes. You're not Dak Prescott. You're not Rodgers in his prime. You're not Russ. You're not, you know, Watson, not, you know, under cloud of, you know, lawsuits, investigations, indictments, and all that stuff. You sort of get to that point, that's a whole nother tier up. The question is, which one do you want to live in? And I talked about this in the rebuilding guide a little bit. Like, do you want to do the Giants build, which is to basically build around Eli Manning, or do you want to do the Chiefs build, which was saying, like, hey, being fourth, being fifth, you know, being top six in the position or in the league and wins, and not getting to a Super Bowl, not winning a Super Bowl, that is not good enough for us. Which do you want to be? And most people, I think, I mean, I've had this conversation a lot and gotten reactions. Says, well, of course you want to go win a Super Bowl. Most people and most organizations do not live their lives like that. Most people will say that, oh, you know, it'll stay in a job too long. Right? They'll stay in a job too long. They will not like their job, but hey, listen, it pays the bills, right? My boss can be a jerk, but listen, I'm eating and I've there's like little risk. You know, my family's safe, secure, all those things. That happens all the time in the NFL. Right. That happens all the time because there's risk in shaking it up. Right, there's a lot of downside to that. Jalen Hurts is a really interesting example of are the Eagles, like, what do they want to be, and is this do they see themselves sort of in this light of being able to win, or what do they aspire to, which I think probably for them is a Super Bowl, given the fact that this front office has a ring. I think that they're probably trying to maximize their Super Bowl odds. We'll see. Maybe they're trying to maximize, you know, secure against their floor, which is a different conversation. But how Jalen Hurts fits into a situation like that is interesting. I think from the perspective of us sitting here talking about Dynasty, I use this analogy a lot, and I the more I've sort of talked about it, the more I've sort of think about it in different ways, which is Jalen Hurts is the person that you're dating, that you are getting to know. Maybe you're early 20s, you're just out of school, but things are going well. You didn't necessarily anticipate getting in a relationship and finding marriage, but it's going well. And for a variety of reasons, you don't know if you'd necessarily want to settle down, but everything's going fine. Like, you're having fun. You are enjoying yourselves. What you're not doing is going on honeymoon-level vacations together. You're not going on, buying 5-bedroom houses together. Jalen Hurts, as great as a dynasty asset, if you're not paying for a honeymoon, if you're going for a long weekend in Vegas as opposed to 2 weeks in Aruba, right? There's a difference there in terms of commitment, in terms of financial expenditure, and mindset. I think you have to really, so I don't mind necessarily him. But you have to understand, like, at any given time, it could change. And there's nothing guaranteeing that he will be a starter long term. So that's the pause that I have on him. Now, if he sort of gets through another year, you got to remember, if he gets through another year of doing this and they like where he's at, then we're getting to the contract extension phase. And again, now I think that's a whole different level, right? If they pay him, if they sort of Dak Prescott pay him, right? If they, that's probably not going to happen, but you sort of get the idea. Like, once you get the further indication on money, it gives you an idea of what their commitment is, right? Putting the ring down, basically, this, to complete this metaphor, walking down the aisle. That should make us feel different. What we should not be doing is getting out in front of that commitment in terms of what we will pay relative to dynasty costs. So paying a top 8 cost, and I'll go through this in a minute, but paying that cost is too much, right? Too late first, right? Can you pay too late first for Russ right now? Can you pay too late for, I mean, heck, I did it for Watson, and I feel better about Watson long term than I do about Hurts, right? Like, that's a cost that it's probably not debilitating if something goes wrong. You can't pay a cost that if something goes wrong, it's going to sink you, okay? Too late first is probably not going to do that for Jalen Hurts, but I wonder if he gets through the next 6 months, or I guess really, let's call it 9 months. Let's call it, he gets into July or August of next year unscathed. How much more of that then does he cost? Because I don't think it's that much. He's just probably not going to elevate that much further just because he's got guys ahead. He's got kind of a hard ceiling right now. That's really the big concern that I have about him. So am I a buyer or a seller? I'm probably, again, I'm in a firm holding pattern around the quarterback 1-2 drop off. I feel better about guys like Stafford. If I had to sort of put these guys in a tier, which I'll talk about in a minute here, I've got a bunch of guys ahead of him just because there's more safety there. And that's how at those high price costs, I think you have to be really careful about the downside. So that's my position sort of on Hurts. I think it's notable that he's taking a step forward. When you see that, you tend to see guys that finish with the top, especially top 6 season, like those tend to be like 100 start guys. Right? We sort of go back to the work in prior editions, like those are 100 start guys. So we're trending in a good direction. I want to see more commitment to that than anything. All right. So jumps from one top 6 finish to 2. That's going to be Lamar Jackson. He's just under expectation at 4.2%, 4.5 touchdown rate. Really good. 30.8% of his rushing as of his scoring is rushing. 14th in terms of PFF grade, 7.9 yards per attempt, second highest ADOT There's stuff there as a passer to really like. I don't think he's ever going to kill you from the pocket, right? This isn't going to be, if the rushing ever goes away, I don't think he's Dak Prescott, right? When you look at Dak Prescott, it's like less than 8% of his stuff is coming through the running game. That is upticked a bit. It was like 1% earlier on in the season. It's gone up. If Lamar is forced to be a sub 10% rushing score guy, I think we might be in a different world with him. And for him, again, we'll talk about, I think there's levels of risk that you have to look at with these guys. With him, it's about how you value that. And so there's a group of guys I'll talk about in a minute here that I think you have to consider him in with. And maybe ultimately the answer is to arbitrage them. So I'll talk about that in a minute. Other guys that I think are under, you know, we talked about Cousins a little bit. Best clean pocket grade, 93.4, 8.5 yards per attempt from a clean pocket. That's 10th. He is 8th in terms of expected points added per dropback. That is, and it's pretty darn good in terms of where he's at for a quarterback. So again, is he elite? No. Is he very good? Yes. Like, where does that put you? Yeah. You know, there's I think a lot of question there about long term. Where is he at? I mean, he's 34 playing at a really high level. Like, let's not kill him off quite yet. I think he's got another contract in him. Is it 2 or 3 years? Maybe instead of $105 million, which was like a really high end of the market beforehand, maybe it's a little bit less than that. And an extension that reworks the salary cap and those sorts of things. So they're over the cap. They're going to need to figure that out. And I think that a Cousins deal would make some sense. You know, again, this is one of those things. Do you basically throw it all out and try and rebuild, or do you, do you try and win with the team that you have now? Because if you're going to sort of do that, like, again, then it becomes the issue of like, hey, is Dalvin Cook on your next contending team, and all of those things. Is it worth locking up Justin Jefferson sort of sooner, because then you can, you know, bury some of the costs? Like, there's all these things that sort of come in with it that that I think, you know, will factor into how they treat this, or should anyways. But I think Cousins, almost no matter what, from a fantasy perspective, is going to still be viable here in the next couple of years or so. So other ones over the, year four threshold, really, on top 10 quarterbacks. Baker's quarterback 25. He's 33 in points per game. He's getting up there, $18.8 million cap hit in 2022. Virtually all of that is dead money. Darnold, quarterback 22. He's 27 in points per game. I think Carolina has all but said that this is basically, this is basically it on that experiment, by the fact that they bring in Cam Newton or starting him. And it just seems very, not a good sign for Sam Darnold here going forward, and frankly, he doesn't deserve it. Daniel Jones on the wrong side of the threshold as well. He's jumping off the cliff, year three to year four. Quarterback 21, he's 22nd in terms of points per game. It wouldn't be impossible for him to get into like the top 15 or so. And he's a game behind. As I'm recording this, it's Monday night. He hasn't played Monday, so if he gets train wrecked, like, he's not on pace to do that anymore. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, if he performs very well, then he may. So all of those things are sort of up in the air on him. He's trending in the wrong direction, though. So I think that's the easiest way to say that. Is he a guy that can make a later jump? We don't really have a ton of experience with that happening. Tannehill, Alex Smith. It's not a ton of guys that do it if they miss early. And so that's somewhat my concern with Jones. Maybe next year, but I think after next year it becomes, again, now we're talking fifth-year option and everything on him right now. So this is going to be an offseason where they got to make those decisions on him. I'm not super optimistic. But listen, at the cost of like him versus Darnold, like, give me Daniel Jones still would sort of be my thought. I still think there's outs with Darnold, like, we know what the answer is. And Baker, like, I just don't have a ton of confidence. If I can, I moved Baker and Dobbins for Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson has performed horribly since then, and it's still a great trade. So, speaking of the aforementioned Russell Wilson, He's one of my buys here. I think he's the major buy. If you also want to get it on Watson, like I would do it. I gave two firsts for Watson, and I actually I gave two firsts for Watson, and there was Jacobs as well. So I gave basically – and it's a contending team. And it's interesting because I actually played a two-way go. So I had three – firsts. I thought Watson would be more expensive than he was. I didn't think two firsts would get it done. So I was like going to package together three if I had to sort of get Watson, but get multiple additional pieces to sort of help me contend this year, give me multiple outs. And then listen, if I want to recoup, I had some quarterback depth. I could go out and I could recoup some draft assets. I could sort of, you know, move assets from one position to another if I needed to in the off season. I could, that's 6 months from now, Jordan's problem. Right now, I'm star hunting, right? I'm hunting for stars and, you know, big game hunting. And, you know, the deal ended up working out was like, hey, two firsts for Wilson and Jacobs, or excuse me, for Watson and Jacobs. And frankly, I mean, Jacobs is probably the profile's worth a first. You know, would I just outright go out and pay that? Probably not. Like, I could figure out other ways to do that. But listen, there's insulation there. There's maybe it's not necessarily high end ceiling, but I do think you're getting a certain level of floor. It's a projectability out of that slot in your depth chart. And listen, it is tough to, you know, when you're playing. I do agree with the innings eating concept of like, hey, you just need to get to 28 starts. I largely agree with that. It's hard to do that every week. So, and I tend to think of that more as like a, hey, it's a 14 start thing. So if I can get a guy like Jacobs, you know, if I can get a guy that can sort of eat innings for me on like a running back two type landscape, like that helps me. That makes life easier. Even though it might not necessarily be this most huge advantage over the field, it just helps me sort of build out my roster construction. So, and it gives me some options too. Like I could play matchups. I don't necessarily have to start Jacobs every week, but if he's a home favorite, for example, like one of those situations, it's nice. If he's a good run defense, like if maybe he's playing the Chargers, right? Like there's certain ways I can mix and match him. Maybe he's not necessarily an automatic start, but has the ability to help me in terms of solving on this particular team was a running back 1-2 sort of issue, right? I had options, but I needed a couple more would help. Felt like a free asset. So those types of deals for Watson, I think are fully there. It's interesting. I don't know why someone would hold this long and then sell Watson short. That makes zero sense to me. But listen, I will let you hold. I will absolutely let you hold Watson this long and then buy short. That's absolutely 100% something I'm willing to do. Right? Why you would wait this long and you're saying, listen, I'm going to rebuild and your first decision is to sell Watson. Zero sense to me, but be that as it may. Some additional trades for him include him for Zeke, which is interesting. You know, I think Watson long term for sure. Trevor Lawrence, Watson, Miles Sanders for Josh Allen. There's two ways out there. Watson for Joe Mixon and Van Jefferson. Again, who makes the difference to your fantasy team long term? Those are some of the recent ones there. Yeah, there's one on the other side where it's him in a first for Eckler and Marquise Brown. You know, Tua, Dalvin Cook, Ertz for Gesicki, Watson, and a first. If Watson never plays again, that trade by the time that pick rolls around might not be that bad. You know, so you look at all these things, like there's ways to insulate it. I think that makes a lot of sense. I chose to insulate it with a contending piece as opposed to, you know, getting future assets because I was giving future assets. So that's the deal there. All right, so Russell Wilson, so I was a long detour on Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, second worst PFF grade of his career, but it's actually the best yards per attempt of his career, which is interesting. From a clean pocket, it's not noticeably worse. He's down a little bit. He's basically between 90 and 93 in terms of a clean pocket stuff in his career. He's at 89.5. you know, I think some of the fact that he's recovering from injury probably is a key reason why he's performing not up to expectation. And so that's, you know, or, you know, the other thing that I would say about this is just always remember this. So this is like his career best in terms of yards per attempt. He's got a couple other seasons at this same level of yards per attempt. If the ordering of something is what is causing an inefficiency, whether that is like, hey, listen, he's got the best yards per attempt of his career, but he's like struggling to like finish drives, like that's a first world problem. You can't do the other way around. You can't be, hey, you know, really, really good at like, listen, I suck, but I am just able to finish all these drives. Like, that doesn't work long term. What works long term is like being really good, and then the ordering will sort itself out. So that'll work from a drive perspective, right? So maybe there'll be some games where they just look weird, and you sort of get some inefficiencies or whatever. Like, that stuff is, but you can't sort of, you can't go the other way. You can't suck, but it sort of long-term work out, right? Long-term, if you're really good, it'll sort of, those things, weird things will happen. And especially when they're clustered in like two or three games, that's actually is a really good opportunity to sort of pie, right? We know what Russell Wilson is at this point. This isn't a mystery. Like, this isn't, these games aren't hard, right? We make this game a lot harder than it is. And the fact that we know what he is, which is a very good passer, is he ever going to be the quarterback one going forward? Maybe not. You know, is he going to be in a healthy season? Is he going to post something less than quarterback 12? Probably not for a while, would sort of be my thought, you know? So all of that said, you know, if he's a buy, right? He is absolutely 100% a buy to me. Alec Ingold, the first and 2 seconds, for Russell Wilson and Matt Gay, I think that's probably just roster shaping there in terms of it. A first, Jalen Reagor, a second, and a fourth. Zach Wilson, Van Jefferson, and a first for Russell Wilson. That seems like an overpay, but I'd still do it. Russ and Allen Robinson for Derek Carr, Terrace Marshall, and Juju. I will say this, he hasn't been traded that much, so that could be definitely one thing that goes into this that's a potential distorting factor of this is if he's not traded a lot, there's probably a split between buy and sell price. But actually, when you look at the past week, he has been traded a lot. So he just wasn't traded a lot over the weekend, which naturally he wasn't because you're in games. There's him, and this is an interesting one that we could talk about probably longer term. Russell Wilson, a first in 2023 and a second for Kyler Murray, right? That's going up the board. Russell Wilson for Mac Jones. I mean, give me Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson for Trey Lance in a second, right? There's all sorts of things going on. Tannehill in a first, that one you might say, huh, you know, maybe I'm interested in the Tannehill side. Maybe they are closer together. I still probably would lean Russ there, but that one we could probably talk about more in a you know, to think about as the construct of that. I think just first inclination, first reaction is to take the Russ side. But again, then you get Russ and a first for Kyler Murray. Again, that's an interesting pivot up. It's, again, at this point, it feels like selling low, but I think that's an interesting one. So here's the other thing that I wanted to sort of look at. Let's look at the 2023 week one. We're going to put ourselves in 2023. So skip ahead to the end of this year, skip all of next year, and let's look at 2023. What teams are we confident that we know as of right now the starting quarterback then, right? Who are we confident in saying, yes, I believe that person is the starting quarterback for that team in 2023? And I'm excluding rookies from this. Okay, I'm excluding rookies because the answer is probably yes, but it's a different conversation in terms of like long-term security. Arizona, yes. Atlanta, no. Baltimore, yes. Buffalo, yes. Carolina, no. Chicago's a rookie. Cincinnati, yes, with Burrow. Cleveland, no. Dallas, yes. Denver, no. Detroit, no. Green Bay, probably Rodgers is a starter someplace. I don't feel confident Green Bay that he's Green Bay starter, so that's a no. Houston, no. Indy, no. Jacksonville's a rookie. Kansas City, yes. Mahomes. The Chargers, yes, with Herbert. The Rams, yes, with Stafford, although that is the least secure of these ones, is what I would say. The Raiders, I'm not sure that Derek Carr is their guy. Miami, no. Minnesota, no. The Patriots, rookie. The Saints, no. Giants, no. Jets, rookie. Philly, no. Pittsburgh, no. Seattle, I think that Russell Wilson's a starter someplace. I'm not sure it's in Seattle. San Francisco, it's a rookie. Tampa Bay, I don't think you can expect that out of Tom Brady. Tennessee, that's one where I could say, like, that's close. That might be on the Stafford line. Like, those are the two closest ones that I would say. Are Tennessee and the Rams. And so I'll say yes for Tennessee just because I think it's the same thing. And I have an anti-Tennessee bias, so I'm just going to go with the Titans there and say that it is – that they're included. It's nine teams. That's nine teams. So if you take out the teams that have rookie quarterbacks, just five of them, you're looking at basically a third of the teams you feel confident in. We should treat elite quarterbacks sort of that same way. Again, there are quarterbacks that I think are elite that I don't feel confident are going to be on their same team. Russell Wilson, Rodgers, right? Those guys, I don't feel confident in that. Usable guys, Carr, Cousins. But you look at the group of guys that we feel confident in 2 years out, that's a should point you in the right direction. And I don't think we think about that quite that much. We don't have this. We have way too much confidence that we sort of know what's going to happen long term. When we take a real look at it, gives you some pause. Another way I wanted to look at this, again, we're running long on this show just because I want, you know, I think this is an important show in terms of thinking about these guys as we're trying to make deals at the deadline. The tiers of the position. I loathe rankings. Loathe them. This was a very hard exercise for me, but I did it anyways because I think it's important. If I had to put it down on paper, Mahomes is alone by himself. This is a tier break. The reason Mahomes is alone by himself, by the way, 5 seconds on this, he's not having a good season and he's quarterback one. That's all you need to know. Tier two. Dak Prescott, suspended, under investigation, we'll just call it a clean version of Deshaun Watson. Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Herbert, Lamar. I attempted to put Russ in this. I put him in the next group, which is there's a group of guys together in that range that we could talk about in a second. But it's those six guys that I feel together are in a group. I think you can sort them a number of ways. If I were to just say, if healthy, out there on the field. So let's take away, you know, the current what appear to be some sort of digestive issues for Lamar. You know, that sort of stuff. The ankle injury. You know, the beat up Kyler stuff, which I do think is a question. You know, the Deshaun Watson stuff. So you just say, you know, just clean, fresh slate, start a season, whatever, non-injured, nothing hanging over our heads. How do we feel about those guys? I would just rank him in terms of most risk to least risk, or I guess least risky to most risky in that, or, you know, which one do I feel safest about? That would be how I would rank the tier. It would be Dak, be Deshaun Watson, be Herbert, it would be Josh, and then that's a slight tier break in there. And then it goes to, I think there's a tier break in there after those three, because I could feel at any given moment you could convince me of the order of the other three. You could tell me Lamar, you could tell me Josh Allen, you could tell me Murray, you could... Any three, you could sort of spin those up in like one of those, little tumbler things that, that throws the dice. You could tell me any one of those, and I wouldn't necessarily agree with it. I think probably the key in that range is arb them. Right, arb them. I do think there's a level of security below Herbert at four that I don't think is present in the guys above. And that's some of the rushing. It's a really high-end rushing amount for Lamar. We haven't gotten a full uninjured difference-making season out of Murray yet, which I just want to see before I elevate him ahead of a guy like Herbert, who I've seen that from twice at this point. And Josh Allen, like, I never feel great about it in any given moment. Then you get into your next tier. And this becomes a situation where, again, you sort of come back to some of the guys we talked about. And it's, I think in this tier, you could, again, go a couple of ways. I think Stafford and Tannehill are probably pretty close in terms of how you put them. I would put Stafford ahead of Tannehill just because I think he's got a bigger difference-making fantasy upside, would sort of be my thought. But yeah, I mean, I would probably have Stafford ahead of Tannehill. It's close, though. They're relatively similar. But then you get Ross, you get Burrow, you get Rodgers. I can't put Fields. I can't put Lance in there. They haven't done it yet. And I think that would be a disservice to you listening to me to put them there because everyone else is putting them there. I don't need to join the club on that. I just don't think that they belong there. Until they do it, until we see some of the patterns appear, we just can't feel confident. I can't anyways. So that gives you a group of basically and then after, like, a slight tier down to me would be Carr, would be Cousins. I think we have a little bit more contractual uncertainty with them. You know, what ultimately does the NFL think that they are? And then you get into some of those rookie guys, right? And so that's, you know, when you sort of break it down, it's not a huge amount of guys that are super, we feel super confident in, right? I think probably the difference is that you can make trading between the groups, right? Trading, you know, can you give, you know, Herbert right now for, you know, Deshaun Watson in a first, right? Can you do that? Again, that's risky, but is that the type of thing that you could do? And maybe once, you know, Watson's cleared of some of the stuff you could do, you can implement some of those things. You know, can you trade between them? Those are some of the things that I'd be looking to do right now, and that's just some of the tiers that I'd be looking at doing them in. Again, and then if you can bridge across, I probably wouldn't pay the cost to do a ton of bridging from Ross up to the tier above, just because I think, you know, him, they're just a little bit older than those guys. So I do think that's a slight difference there as a tier break. I think there's a team change that could happen. That's a slight tier break. You know, I think there's probably a ceiling tier break in there as well. Ultimately, you know, maybe that's volume related. We just haven't seen it yet, but I think there's a tier break between those guys. And honestly, I'd probably have Burrow below. He's going to be in that range. If you're drafting him, I'd probably avoid him until he was after Stafford. At least he'd be in the Stafford Tannehill range of taking those guys. That's ultimately sort of where I would come down on it. Again, if I'm looking for trade targets, I can't tell you to go, hey, go out and buy Daniel Jones. Hey, go out and hunt one of these guys. Go take a tier two guy. Right? Go move, even if it's Jalen Hurts, right? Move Jalen Hurts for Dak. Right? Do that deal. We probably don't have a ton of that, but you get the idea of that. You know, move Rodgers for Herbert plus, you know, move Rodgers plus for Herbert, right? Move up that board if that's what you're looking to do in terms of trading. Remember something too. There's a big difference when you look at the ADP between guy at one and guy at six. It's a huge difference in terms of odds to make a substantial impact. Moving up the board at this position in particular makes a lot of sense. And when you sort of can especially bridge gaps of uncertainty, that not only on paper shows up, but also in security of your roster as well. All right. Well, for an extended version of snap reactions, which was very little about the week 11 snaps, that'll do it for this edition. I wanted to talk through some of the process about how I saw the position. I'm going to do that at running back and do that at wide receiver and tight end as well here. Got trade shows here for you. So good luck trading this week. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.